everybody. Look alive. We have a full-on Filner alert. Where's my air raid siren? There's a Filner alert. More women have been Filnered out here in San Diego.
Everybody, yeah, it's
be
kind
on the
of,
lookout.
It's really icky, too.
All right, get your face masks, your hockey masks on so you can avoid the full facial lick. Yeah, it is. It's gotten ick. If it could get ickier, it's gotten ickier.
It's gotten ickier.
Ah. Okay, yeah. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800.
The people he targeted in this one.
We'll talk about that later.
All right.
1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. All right. We have comedian Judy Gold live in studio. Very, very exciting. Hi, Jim. Good morning. Are you alive? Oh. Okay.
Vaguely.
You okay?
He was doing a thinker pose.
Oh.
Good morning.
He has a stomach thing, he told me.
Oh, yeah. Oh, dear. Okay.
So I think he's trying to hold something in.
Oh. Good luck with that. We don't want any prebising right out of the box here. All right. So lots to get to. We're going to do a healthcare corner with Jackie, which she doesn't know about yet. She's probably just listening to this now.
I just sent her an email about it, so she might know.
Awesome. About George W. Bush's heart stent and all that, his brush with the healthcare system. Anyway, all right, 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Lots to get to, and right out of the box, here we go.
Carl.
Carl Frisch. Exciting. WholeFightStrategies.com. So inviting to me. Good morning, Carl Frisch.
Good morning.
How are you? How are you, sir?
I'm doing all right. This is not Karl Rove, however.
Yes.
Sorry. That was a grave error on my part. Although you used to be a Republican.
I did, but I was not evil when I was a Republican.
No.
I was just confused and lost.
Yes, you were just doing your job. You were doing what you were told to do.
You're just a little lost boy, and now you are found.
That's right.
Now, I loved your tweet. You said, well, if Snowden's going to be in Russia, at least Sarah Palin can keep an eye on him. Very, very funny, Carl.
Well, is he in Russia anymore? Do we know that? We know he left the airport.
Yeah, he's there somewhere.
I can see Snowden from my house.
Right.
I think he's probably trying to find, like, a Russian subway or something.
So, speaking of, obviously that was the big news yesterday, Carl. Obama has canceled his Putin summit. He is disappointed.
Disappointed!
Right, in Russia.
Well, I mean, we're now hearing that it's Snowden and it's partly the issue with their anti-LGBT legislation.
Right.
I have a feeling it's probably mostly Snowden.
Right. Is that your ride coming to pick you up? What's happening?
It is. It's actually my ride to drop me off.
Oh, okay. Great. Okay. Good. You had tweeted about that. It includes the recent actions. And I was on CNN talking about that last night because I don't know what you think, Carl, but I think it's pretty serious what's happening in Russia. The topic last night was that a couple people have compared it to Hitler, and they're saying, oh, is that an unfair comparison? And I pointed out, well, Hitler started with the gays and the gypsies. And, I mean, when you have, like, what is it, 83% of Russians are, against gays because they're afraid of arrest?
Godwin of Godwin's Law put out a press release and said, in this instance, it's appropriate to compare this to Nazi Germany. let's think
Stalin? Maybe Stalin a better comparison? Just saying.
Well, I mean, in Germany, before the, what was it, the 36 games or the 38 games?
The 36 games. We talked about a boycott and we said, but Hitler would never go that far, right?
Well, I mean, at that time, Hitler had passed laws saying that Jews could not hold public office. And he had banned literature written by Jews and done a few other things as well. So right now what Putin has done, he's basically said that gay folks are not allowed to say that they're gay, they're not allowed to talk about gay, they're not allowed to, if you mention Tarkovsky and talk about his sexuality or the fact that he was gay, that's considered propaganda, mm-hmm. You're going to jail.
Yeah.
And so that's like the first step. And, when Hitler had done that, his police were looking the other way when Jews would be beat up on the street or when crimes were committed against Jewish people. And that's what's happening in Russia now. You've probably seen the stories about these young kids basically meeting, going online and meeting other what they think are gay kids and going to meet up with them in person. And then it's these neo-Nazi Russian skinheads, and they get tortured and beat up, and the cops look the other way. Some of these kids have died. But that's what's happening in Russia right now.
Yeah, I think it actually, it started, Leno made the comparison, believe it or not, when the president was on the other night. He said, you know, the anti-gay laws are like Germany rounding up Jews. And so, you know, of course you have people going, oh, that's an overreaction. But I'm reading an op-ed, Carl, I'm forgetting who this is by, but said these new anti-gay laws are disturbingly similar to the anti-Semitic Nuremberg laws Hitler passed before the 1936 Olympics. And with the Pew Institute, this is the statistic, finding that 84% of Russians believe society should reject gay people, perhaps some saying they object to gays for fear of arrest. The world should question how far Russia intends to go. So, you know, interesting, more than one person has brought this up.
Right, you don't even have to be gay to get in trouble there. You just have to speak out for your gay friends and family, and you'll be, you know, thrown in jail or beaten up. Even being an ally to the community is bad there. So folks need to put pressure on the Olympic Committee there and ask that the games get moved. And I've heard, you know, the folks in Vancouver would love to have the Winter Games again.
Yeah.
They had it in 2010, so they've already got all the equipment and different places that you would need to have all the different events.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's interesting. And this op-ed concludes with, no one can predict the future, but this week Obama showed he learned an important lesson from our Olympic past. Offering silence to appease evil is a senseless endeavor because evil will never be satisfied. Now it's our turn to speak up. There are 447 members of Congress who have yet to sign that letter to Secretary Kerry. We need to be asking why. You know, I mean, I think it is, and I've said, look, I think the president did take a stand by canceling, you know, the summit with Putin, right?
Right.
You know, because people are going, oh, is that just an empty gesture because he's still going to the summit? And I thought, look, you know, A, as you and I have said, this president's done more for gay rights than all the other presidents combined. But I do think that it's a weird moment in time when we've made such progress in this country, right, on gay rights, that this is going on in Russia.
Well, I mean, and think about it. At this point, and you know, Russia's basically trying to deny all of Western Europe's progress on LGBT rights. But the right wing in this country is becoming, you know, it's very strange to see where they fit most in. You know, you've got Middle Eastern countries that feel a certain way about gay people. And you've got Russia that feels a certain way towards gay people. It all comes down to this religious intolerance. And at a certain point, we have to ask ourselves, where does that come from? And you can look no further than our own right-wing evangelicals here who defend the Russians' right that they claim, that the Russians have the right to treat gay people like this. And that's just sick.
Yeah.
Well, and they're also suggesting that gay people are intolerant of other views. They're trying to turn it around on gay people like that, which is mind-boggling to me.
Right. When right-wing Christians have to feel this kind of tyranny and abuse, the gay people will be there standing up for their rights. But as it stands right now, we already know that right-wing evangelicals, Americans, were the ones that were behind putting all of those crazy thoughts about gay people in the minds of the Ugandan legislature.
Yeah. Uganda, there's another example. Yeah.
We've gotten to the point where we've made so much progress in this country where you can't say certain things against gay people, even if you feel it, because you know that your neighbors will think you're crazy. So our right-wing evangelical crazies have been exporting their hatred to places that are much more susceptible.
Yep. Well, I'm in my little gay frenzy this morning because I was just had my photo shoot last night. I'm in the Out 100 for the Advocate magazine, everybody.
That's
and
fantastic.
We did the photo shoot at my house. I was in a lace dress on my bed with my two giant dogs. So I'm sure there will be charges of bestiality in addition to my.
Of course there will. Or bestiality.
Right.
Well, I mean,
exactly.
My understanding is that the show is moving to the pet channel. So
that's a possibility.
Oh God! Yeah, we're Animal Planet's new morning show.
Yeah, Animal Planet's morning show. I realized I wasn't supposed to say anything. I didn't realize we were on the air. I'm
you
sorry.
Let the cat and the dog out of the bag.
You see what you did there?
You scamp!
All right, that's just the top of it. We're gonna have lots more pet puns. All day.
Yeah, there you go.
It's mornings
right.
With Max and Fred.
Everybody. With Dexter Von Frisch in the sidecar.
That's right.
All right. Whee! All right. Thank you, Carl Frisch. A little deep kiss to Dexter for me.
All righty.
All right. Have a good one. Love you. Goodbye. There he goes. Harry B. Okay. All right. Lots to get to. Oh, including, by the way, Rick Santorum had some thoughts.
Oh.
On
yes.
Liberals and gays and bears, oh my.
And showers.
Right. Mm-hmm. 17 minutes after
maybe
the hour.
Maybe you should run for president of Russia.
Fico or Uganda. All right. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Not bad. Like frisbee golf, I'm glad I tried it once.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 21 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. Tony in California. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Tony.
Hello. How are you doing?
Good. Go ahead.
I was thinking of one way to drive Putin crazy.
Yes.
Have our team, our whole athlete team in the Olympics, maybe get Canada, or possibly even England in on it, and have them all wear rainbow armbands.
Oh, well, there you go. That's I like that poke in the eye for Putin. Good idea.
You know what you could do? Put them all in jail.
Yeah, or maybe they could all wear pink triangles on their outfits. How about that?
Oh no.
What? Just saying.
Oh, God.
Dave in Minneapolis, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. It is Hitler-esque. I'm just saying. Dave in Minneapolis.
You know, Mama, this is such a tragic thing. It's tragic on so many levels, but it's focusing in on our own situation in this country with the religious right doing what it's doing. It is breathtaking how easily they have dismissed everything that Jesus says. They name themselves, call themselves Christian, and then do the exact opposite. What Jesus said was the biggest commandment of all, the one we all had to follow, was whatever you've done to the least of these, you've done to me. Essentially, that's the hard part of being a Christian. You have to look at people that you would just as soon despise and dismiss and say, there is the person of Christ in front of me. Now what am I going to do with him?
Right.
And that's why Christianity has, when it's practiced, has never been easy. It is not about power, which is what these folks are doing. And you get angry, but if you're someone who values your faith, I'm sorry.
Oh, that's okay, honey. That's okay.
If you value your faith, it's about caring and loving people. It's not about hating. And it just gets so frustrating when you see these folks doing this on their rights, because it's not about Christ. It's about getting their power, staying in control, and assuming that people will be terrorized into being part of your club.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I'm sorry. I've never
Well, I mean, I think that, Dave, again, and not to, overuse the whole, Nazi comparison, but I think that what people are talking about is not just the anti-gay laws in Russia, it's the climate of fear that it's creating in everybody else. Correct. You get a number like that, like 84% think gays should be rejected. I mean, really? Do they really think that, or
no.
Are they afraid,
no.
Of the
afraid.
Government?
I mean, but what the government...
And that's, anyway, that's the analogy is what I was saying about, obviously... Go ahead.
That's a very accurate analogy. Mm-hmm. It's spot on. And I think that's why we're having a hard time globally and actually going, oh, no, not again. Didn't we get this the front last time around? But humans are never underestimate the ability of human beings to be stupid. We're so good at denial. But these leaders need to realize fear is a very fragile emotion. And once people are up against the wall and have nothing left to lose, you just put yourself in a very dangerous position when it comes to a revolution or backlash or whatever. I do think that when we look at Russia and what's going on there now in that environment, the right here in this country needs to take, and Fox News and that ilk, they all need to take a good hard look at themselves, because they're a part of this. They have helped create the same environment. We're a global community. We're not isolated anymore.
Yeah.
And they need to take a good look at what they've accomplished. So.
Yep, there you go, Dave. Thank you, honey. The president obviously talking about this.
I have no patience for countries that try to treat gays or lesbians or transgender persons in ways that intimidate them or are harmful to them. Now, what's happening in Russia is not unique, but one of the things that I think is very important for me to speak out on is making sure that people are treated fairly and justly, because that's what we stand for, and I believe that that's a precept that's not unique to America. That's something that should apply everywhere.
And then he talked about, Russia in general and the Cold War.
There have been times where they slip back into Cold War thinking. And a Cold War mentality. And what I consistently say to them and what I say to President Putin is that's the past.
You know who it's good news for?
Who?
Is that guy with the freaky eyes that was in all the Goldie Hawn movies. Because we're back to having Russian villains in movies. That guy. Whoever, Dolph Lundgren, it's good news for him.
Although he was Swedish.
He's not Russian.
All right. Yakov Smirnov?
Right.
His act can come back like...
Right. What a country.
Exactly.
His real name's probably Tim Smith.
What a country.
But I think maybe...
What a Russian.
I think maybe for the first time since the 1930s, a Nazi Germany analogy is apt.
Yeah, That's what I was saying. I'm saying unless I'm just saying.
Mm-hmm.
As we know, the White House abruptly canceled the face-to-face with Putin. The effort to upgrade the relationship fallen victim to the rapidly shrinking common ground between the Cold War rivals, including extreme difference over the Syrian civil war, Russia, obviously this stuff, the LGBT rights, and the final straw, of course, the asylum granted to Snowden. The State Department said, we've informed the Russian government we believe it would be more constructive to postpone the summit until we have more results from our shared agenda. That was diplomat speak.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Okay. Yikes.
Third, what they meant to say is stop being such bigoted douche nozzles and traitor harborers. Russia's disappointing decision to grant... Disappointed? Again, very disappointed. To grant Edward Snowden... temporary asylum was also a factor that we considered in assessing the current state of our bilateral relationship. The Kremlin responded quickly, voicing its own disappointment. They are equally disappointed with the canceled summit, blaming it on Washington's inability to develop relations with Moscow on an equal basis. Well, that's nice. Please, join us in our gay bashing, won't you? Why won't you be more equal about our unequal stand on equal rights?
Oof.
Yeah, exactly. Woof. Obama, as we know, they're giving us a little Russian. I guess I'll need some Russian music.
Okay.
A little history on our Russian relations, Jim. Obama sought to cultivate Medvedev.
Medvedev.
I have PTSD when I think about debating Michael Medved about Medvedev.
Medvedev.
Which I have done.
Yes, you have.
I'm frequently on CNN with him.
You are.
Thank God Medvedev is not in office anymore.
No.
Although not for these reasons. Obama had sought to cultivate Medvedev as a friend of the United States, making significant changes to Bush administration plans for European missile defense to try to ease Russian concerns about that project, signing a new arms control treaty, famously sending then-Secretary of State Hillary Clinton to meet where they... Remember, we did the whole reset in U.S.-Russian relations. Mm-hmm. The worst news was Putin getting that again, frankly. Putin seems to want none of the coziness that reset would bring and actively sought to undo previous agreements on cooperation under Putin. Russia has stepped up its negative rhetoric on missile defense, ended 2 decades of democracy and civil society training by the U.S. Agency for International Development, and banned adoptions of Russian children by Americans. And that's before you even get to the anti-gay stuff. And as Jim said, for some reason he famously likes to lift up little boys' shirts and rub their tummies.
Kiss their bellies,
which is...
weird.
A cultural thing?
Sure. Could be a cultural thing. I don't know. I've never been to Russia, so I don't know if that's common there.
Yet.
Okay, 29 minutes after. Speaking of creepy, talk about Filner next as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Ready? Because I'm about to drop some knowledge. Cute girls are not from Buffalo.
Ha!
I beg your pardon.
Buffalo gals, why don't you come out tonight? Come out tonight.
I'll bet you a case of Jenny Cream Ale you're wrong.
Goof.
Throw in some OB splits. All right, maybe a case of Lake Niagara wine.
What are OV splits?
Old Vienna beer.
What's a split?
It's a little the tiny smaller bottle, one, right?
Oh.
It's like girl size.
I thought it was like a float.
No. Okay. 30.
A beer float. I don't know.
No.
Ew. Ovary split.
34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEF-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. All right. Jackie's Healthcare Corner. Comedian Judy Gold live in studio. A rollicking show once again. Wow. If Filner could get ickier, he just got ickier.
Yeah.
Yikes. Yikes. Oh, by the way, do we have the song Sexual Healing handy? Because, wow. This is really gross. Okay. So, did you hear the voicemail? The man on the voicemail's flirty, clearly asking for a date. It's the name on the message that's raising red flags. Hi, it's your newly favorite Congressman Bob Filner.
Blah!
What?
You know, the one who fell in love with you at your last speech, he told Eldonna Fernandez.
Who?
I don't want to wait till you come back to have dinner with you. He met Hernandez at a National Women's Veterans Association of America healing and hiring fair. He was focusing on the healing part.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Sexual healing.
You think this is playing in the background of the voicemail message? Or Barry White? Hi, you doing? It's Bob Filner.
Baby. Oh, baby. It's Bob Filner.
Yak. Yeah.
Yeah, baby.
This is the icky part. So this is an organization. They're survivors of sexual assault in the military.
In the military, yeah.
God.
Wow. The last guy you want to invite to that part.
This is like the story in the Army about the guy that was in charge of the sexual assault bureau was...
Yeah.
Assaulting.
Sexually assault.
Yeah.
Right, because women are vulnerable when they're in this position. And, oh, God. Fernandez, along with Army veteran Jerry Tindley, joins 11 other women who have publicly accused Filner of making unwanted advances. Isn't it time for him to get vivay, perhaps?
I think so.
Can you imagine having a wanted advance from Filner?
No,
Anyone?
No. Although, give him a break. He is, what, 3 days into his two-week therapy.
Sure.
To change his behavior toward women.
Right. For the worse, probably.
There are also among at least 8 female veterans and members of the National Women's Veterans Association of America in San Diego who have accused Filner. Almost all of the women were victims of sexual assault while they were in the military.
Oh.
The women, like Fernandez, say the former chairman of the House Veteran Affairs Committee. That's probably why he got on that committee, so he could...
Affairs, huh?
Yeah. Right, it's right in the title. It's right in the title of his committee.
Yeah,
so you
see,
can see where he misses.
He's just doing his job, having affairs.
It's in the title.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They say he used his significant power and credentials to access military sexual assault survivors who they say are less likely to complain. At the same event where Fernandez spoke, Army vet Tindley gave a speech about her violent rape, which happened during her 8 years of service. She bore a son from the sexual assault. Filner, who was running for mayor of San Diego at the time, was also scheduled to speak. In the green room, he asked Tindley about her rape.
Wait, that's his idea of foreplay?
Wow. He got as close as he could to me. His jacket was touching my jacket. I was bent down. He was bent down with me, rubbing.
What'd he do?
Like he cared, like he was consoling me.
Ew.
Oh, ick.
Yak.
Tindley said she felt uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Awkward. As Filner moved closer and closer, so close she said she nearly fell off the couch trying to move away from him. But, you know, they all explained the same reaction as you do to a man that has power. They were like, well, what's he going to do? He's a congressman. He was the mayor. He was whatever. You know, they were a little
possession
like,
of power.
Right. Right. The president of the group said he went to dinners. He asked women out to dinners, grabbed breasts, buttocks, the full gamut. Everything that is a complete violation of what we stand for. He's a sexual predator, and he used this organization for his own personal agenda. Jones, who said she was raped while she was in the Navy, formed the group as a safe haven for military sexual assault victims. Jones remembers Filner's speeches, where he had often called for zero tolerance of sexual abuse in the armed forces.
But I'm not in the armed forces. So.
Yeah. She said, we're all victims of military sexual assault. It appears to me he was targeting the organization and hitting on women of this organization because they were easy prey. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. Really? Really? I mean, how many things are they going to have to come forward before? It's just, that's gross. Jim in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Jim.
Steph and the Hooligans. How are you guys doing?
Yes.
So I want to... I wanted to call and say that I'm a conservative member. I know, scream, yell. But I was watching the TV yesterday, and I was a big proponent of all the uproar about Benghazi, and I thought that it was a horrible thing, and it could have been avoided. But President Obama did a great thing by closing down the embassies in the eyes of a threat by trying to avoid that and prevent that from happening
again.
Thank
you. Thank you. Because you know what, Jim, I thank you for being an honest conservative, because that's what I thought. This was really incredible. They were like, look at what Benghazi, he didn't protect the embassy. Oh, now look, he's protecting the embassy. Look what he's doing. See? Because,
yeah, and then I think it was Gowdy from Texas. It was him that I saw talking about it, how we're retreating, and said, no, you've been complaining for the last 8 months about how we didn't do anything to help or avoid this, and now we're doing something to help or avoid it, and now that's the bad thing. So it's heavily making me reconsider my vote for the next election.
Well, good for you. Yeah, no, good for you. I you know, at least, you know, we would point out the hypocrisy in it. People that, I think the administration was the one group that did not politicize Benghazi, that when we got to figure out what happened and make sure this, that hopefully try to prevent this from happening again.
Right, and I think the knee-jerk reaction is that obviously, sometimes the big things like Benghazi and getting to the bottom of them may move more slowly than we would appreciate, which, like, you get the witch hunt going on of why don't we have any answers? It's been 6.5 seconds.
But we do have answers, though. That's
what I mean.
Yeah. I mean, the audacity of a Rick Santorum or somebody to go and meet the press and criticize the president for closing the embassies because, oh, well, see, now we're weak on terror. That's why. Wait a minute, what?
They're doing too much, not enough.
He just was screaming, right, that he wasn't doing enough, and now he's, oh, now the
terrorists
have won.
That's not enough too much.
Now the terrorists have won because you've, it's just like, oh, give me a break. By the way, oh, this is a great piece in the LA Times by Doyle McManus, an op-ed piece yesterday, Have the Terrorists Won? And he makes a really good point, Jim, about what's, you know, because now there's all this screaming about, oh, we decimated Al-Qaeda. The administration never, nobody's ever,
no.
What idiot really thinks Al-Qaeda is completely gone? Of course it's not. Anyway, but he makes the point Al-Qaeda has gone local, making it less dangerous for Americans at home, but more so for Americans living in the Middle East and Africa. And that's exactly what's happened. I mean, by killing bin Laden and, you know, taking out a lot of the nexus in Afghanistan,
right,
and wherever, you know, they're not, obviously they've not been able to do these spectacular attacks here, but it does, they're saying, he's basically saying it does put our embassies over there more at risk because they're right there,
right,
you know.
Well, bin Laden and Al-Qaeda's first high-profile event was the African embassy bombings.
Right.
Back in the 90s.
Right. That's what Doyle writes. He says, which is a defeated or resurgent? Because, you know, the right wing will take anything to make the president look bad. And they'll go, oh, well, see, that's not defeated. Anyway, he says neither, really. Al-Qaeda hasn't gone away, but it has changed in a way that makes it less dangerous for Americans at home, but more dangerous for Americans who live in the Middle East and Africa. Once it was global, but today Al-Qaeda's gone local. This month's threat against Western embassies, for example, was focused on capitals in the Middle East, especially in Yemen, as we know. And he said, oh, and he makes a point. He said, even in Libya, where a group loosely connected to Al-Qaeda attacked the U.S. consulate in Benghazi last year, the operation appeared to stem from a local struggle for power, not a global plot directed by the heirs of Osama bin Laden. And again, that was what the right wing tried to make it seem. Again, just anything to make the president look bad, rather than try to go, as Americans, how do we best address this threat? Outside its home territories, though, Al-Qaeda has failed to strike successfully in the U.S. or Europe since the 2005 bombing of the London Underground, an 8-year slump. The organization still employs the man some U.S. officials call the world's most dangerous terrorist, the Saudi-born bomb maker, Ibrahim Hassan.
Sure.
Asiri.
Sure.
Right.
Yeah.
Asiri's plots haven't worked so far, though. In 2009, underwear bomber, that was his.
Right.
Nicely done.
Not his best work.
Nicely done, doofus. Oh, no, it gets worse. That same year, Asiri's brother, outfitted with a similar bomb, got as far as the palace of Saudi Arabia's counterterrorism chief, another local target, and blew himself up. But he was the only casualty. So, essentially, he works for us.
Poor fella.
We're trying to kill terrorists. Oh, good. You did it yourself. Good. Perfect.
Solves that problem.
All right.
Does every governmental minister in Saudi Arabia have a palace? That's what it sounds like.
Issued a palace.
Yeah.
With your title.
God. Okay. On that side note,
they need a tea party over there to get that government smaller.
They really do.
Really?
Yeah.
Taxpayer-funded palaces? Okay. Whatever.
You get a palace, and you get a palace.
And you get a palace. Exactly. Anyway, Doyle finishes, Al-Qaeda may be returning to its roots, reprising the kind of plot that's employed before bin Laden escalated to the spectacular attacks in the West. Before 2001, Al-Qaeda's main focus was attacking embassies and other outposts of foreign power in Middle East and Africa, which is why we kept saying, wait, you never heard anything in other administrations, and obviously the carnage was a lot worse. Operations like the attack on the coal off Yemen in 2000, the bombing of U.S. embassies in East Africa in 1998. Bin Laden's successor, Zawahiri, always thought it was more cost-effective to strike U.S. embassies in the region than to attempt attacks inside the U.S. So this is part of what's happened with Bin Laden gone. Al-Qaeda and its many outgrowths have become a different kind of problem for the U.S. and its allies. Al-Qaeda now seems to be focused on the Western presence in their own backyard, not on targets in the West. The good news, to put it bluntly, that's why it was so nice of George Bush to send many Americans over there, right, where they were a much easier target.
You're welcome, America.
Right. Good news, to put it bluntly, is that most Americans have less to worry about. He's talking about here in the homeland. But for U.S. Diplomats working in embassies overseas, the new normal is a serious problem, as much as for their ability to do their work as for their safety. Working diplomats worry that if embassies close in response to every threat, their work will be impossible. Put more bluntly, if a bomb maker in Yemen can close U.S. embassies just by making plans for the next attempt, doesn't that mean the terrorists have won? I mean, again, what do you do if you're the president, you know?
Yeah.
Benghazi happens. They've been screaming nonstop. So now he's trying to respond to a very specific threat, and they're screaming about that.
That's right.
What a job. All right. All right. Much more to come. 45 minutes after the hour, right back on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Don't you wish your girlfriend was a freak like her? It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 50 minutes after the hour. Jackie's Healthcare Corner coming up at the top of the hour. Comedian Judy Gold live in studio. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. All right. Well, Bob Filner has managed to do it. He has made Anthony Weiner look good. He is the less skeevy of the two, at least today. However, Anthony Weiner has pissed off yet someone else now.
Well, yeah. An entire constituency.
AARP, yes. Yeah. He got into a fight with an opponent and called him Grandpa.
In front of a hot mic.
Oh, dear God. Did you see it was 2 days ago? There's a woman yelling at him.
Yeah.
Like, you know, filming. This is getting ridiculous. Anyway, she's screaming at him, and he's screaming back, and it's just, oh, dear.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
He's
flailing. As my mother would say. Yeah. Tensions boiled over between Anthony Weiner and the rival who's been the most critical of his sexting scandal, Republican George McDonald, as the two got into a heated confrontation at a candidate debate. It culminated in Weiner calling his 69-year-old opponent Grandpa at a forum on senior issues hosted by the AARP.
Yep.
So that was good.
Yeah, that's not...
McDonald got angry after Weiner approached him to greet him and touched him in the chest. I said, keep your hands to yourself. Don't put your hands on me ever again. What's going to happen if I do? Weiner said. You have anger issues. I don't have any anger issues, a Republican replied. Yes, you do, Grandpa, snapped Weiner.
Oh wow.
He's just kind of a jerk.
Yeah. There is audio of it, but it's kind really, really muddled, so I couldn't pull it off.
The pair have had bad blood since at least last week when McDonald called Weiner a self-pleasuring freak at a Queens forum.
The first part is correct.
Right. Well, second part, pretty close.
Second part, yes. There's debate about that.
Weiner also claimed he enjoys it when voters heckle him and curse him out. Okay. I think we know what he likes.
That Susie Essman curse at him. Some guys get off on that.
That would be funny. Funny or Die, get on that. Yeah. Let's do Susie Essman accosting him in a Brooklyn subway. As they did at a campaign stop in Brooklyn on Monday night. And it's becoming almost a daily occurrence. Wow. What a little clown show that whole thing is. That's terrific. All right. Oh, hey, speaking of douche nozzles, I mentioned Rick Santorum.
Yeah.
On Liberals and Gym Showers. Pay attention, everybody. Former Senator Rick Santorum said that, and he's probably going to run again. Wouldn't that be fun? Yet another Santorum
bust
surge.
Bust out that brown sweater vest again.
Right.
Can't wait.
Wolf Blitzer, as we speak, saying, don't say Santorum surge. Don't say it.
Don't say it.
Don't say it again.
trying not to say Sandorm Surge. I said it.
Has led to a spurt in fundraising. He actually said that.
He said that.
It's the greatest thing almost ever of this last cycle. Producer's now telling me in my ear, spend more time with Mr. Google. Uh-oh. He got that look on his face when Jack Cafferty says something particularly off the wall.
Oh, boy. I don't get what Jack just said, but I'm sure it's bad.
Well, they haven't had to talk to each other in years.
No.
So that's good.
Former Senator Rick Santorum said that young conservatives are not pulling their weight in the culture war. You slackers. Culture war slackers. Because they're not willing to match the fervor of liberal activists that apparently means even talking about abortion in gym showers. Huh? What now? I guess as kids do. What?
Are abortions in gym showers a real problem?
No, talking about them.
Yeah. Because he says that...
you know how we liberals are sending our young into showers to talk about abortions.
Sure. Abortion rights,
Promote abortions.
Right. Right. That's what you do.
If only we had more abortions, then everything would be great.
It's just weird. Yes. Santorum's just a little odd. Santorum said that liberals were willing to bring their activism into all aspects of their lives, unlike their religious and conservative counterparts. Because of that, he surmised, even simple tasks like showering at the gym could be a difficult task for conservatives.
Whose fault is that?
They make it uncomfortable for students who come to Austin to shower.
What?
At a Young Men's Christian Association, YMCA.
YMCA.
Specifically in Austin? YMCA gym, because they live it. They're passionate. They're willing to do and say uncomfortable things in mixed company. They're willing to make the sacrifice at their business because they care enough.
Sacrifice?
He then went on to compare the divide between liberals and conservatives, like the British and us during the American Revolution, because... Okay. Oh, he said we won the American Revolution because we wanted it more. We were willing to sacrifice everything for it, and we were not going to give up. We were not going to stop. That's what the left has done to America.
Huh?
That's what the left has done to America, what you've seen in your lifetime, because they simply won't give up.
Look what the homosexuals have done to me.
All right. Okay. They made me wear this sweater vest, and I looked like a doofus for the entire primary. I don't... He's a little human oddling. All right. Looky. Overseas version. This is why they hate us. American tourist snaps finger off 600-year-old Italian statue. Says he was trying to measure it.
That's why they hate us.
Has Louis Gohmert been traveling again? Rick Perry, maybe?
Oops.
Sorry about that. An American tourist has sparked outrage overseas. An unidentified Terrence at Florence, a museum in Florence. Mm-hmm. He snapped the pinky finger off a statue dating to the 14th or 15th century. Just, we'll see how long.
Oh, look at there.
We'll see how long it was.
Look at that. That's a finger.
Wow. Woo, pull your finger.
Yeah, pulled his finger right. Didn't hear nothing, though.
Ooh, that's an old finger.
But why is the statue within reach of anybody?
I don't.
Well.
Because you don't expect idiot to snap a finger off.
Florence is full of, things like that.
Wasn't this in a museum, though?
Was it a museum in Florence.
Was it inside the museum?
It probably shouldn't have been within reach
accessible.
Of American tourists.
People, pay attention. Do not.
Hey, look what I found. That's a finger.
I mean, would you do that to
I bet you more
David's
often, right, that's what I'm Schmanz. Saying. I bet you more often Americans have tried to, break off various peni. But see, they're a little sturdier because it's bigger. The finger, but the pinky was only like a little thing that you could, right?
And David's.
Yeah. He's hung.
That's
right.
That's substantial.
Right.
And oddly, David had a foreskin. That was always baffled me.
You've looked that closely?
You don't have to look all that closely.
It's right there in your face.
Oh, in other American DeFi news, stunning Steve King.
Stunning Steve King.
Republican of he of the cantaloupe calf comments.
Yes.
He has blasted out global warming again, claims not everything that results from a warmer planet is always bad. Steve King told a Ford Dodge crowd that environmentalists were overly stressing the negative effects of climate change.
Mm.
Everything that might result from a warmer planet is always bad in environmental analysis.
Well, if you pay attention to the science, but you
there
don't.
Will be more.
You can't even spell science.
There will be more photosynthesis going on if the Earth gets warmer.
True.
Oh, he pulled out that from his, yeah, like his, you know,
from his seventh grade biology
seventh grade
class.
Biology. Photosynthesis,
yeah,
is good. I got to tell you some more about these comments. Okay, 58 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show. It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 6 minutes after the hour.
And this hour is brought to you by NoFeathersPlease.com, the NoFeathersPlease.com USA-made organic cotton and wool bedding company, wishes Steph and the Mooks lots of success on their next TV home.
Oh, why, thank you. Isn't that precious? By the way, I wanted to finish up real quick about Steve King, the stunning Steve King.
Stunning Steve.
Head of the Herp Derp Congressional Caucus.
Dar, Herp Derp. He's stunned.
Yes, he had some thoughts on climate change. He said not everything that results from a warmer planet is always bad.
Uh-huh.
He was also skeptical the existence and effects of global warming could be statistically measured.
Sure.
Yet again.
Okay. And smog makes for really pretty sunsets.
He said, it's not proven, it's not science.
It's not proven, die.
It's more of a religion than a science.
Yeah. No, it's
also incorrect. Okay. If sea this is so herp derpy, I just don't even know where to start. If sea levels go up 4 or 6 inches, I don't know where we'd even know that.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Such a moron.
We don't know where sea level is, even. Let alone be able to say when it's going to come up an inch globally because some polar ice caps might melt because there's CO2 suspended in the air. Oh, my God.
He has no idea what he's talking about.
No.
The Earth isn't round. You'd fall off. It's crazy talk.
Oh, my God.
Of course it's flat.
Oh,
my God. What? Is it me?
We're going to... The sea level's not even. It won't stay still.
It won't stay still. Yeah, it goes up, it goes down. No. You don't know what goes... It's water.
I tried it, and it did. The waves keep coming, and it won't stay still.
The ocean keeps moving anyway. It goes up and down,
He is the United States Congressman and C.
Wow.
Okay. All right. Wow, we need some brain cells. We're up in here.
Jackie's News.
Zoinks. Okay. Good morning, Jackie Schechner.
Good morning.
Holy moly. All right. Well, I was just telling you at the top of the hour, yeah, this is just, this is what we're up against, particularly on health care. John Boehner, who is the leader of the House Republicans, tweeted that Obamacare will raise Ohioans' health insurance premiums by 41%. In that tweet, he included a link to a story featuring Ohio Lieutenant Governor Mary Taylor reporting premiums actually will go down for most people in Boehner's state. Okay. So.
Well, it's because Republicans have been so successful so far about spreading misinformation and then having their little minions not check that information. I mean, I'm still getting it. Here we are 3 years after the law passed, and people are still sending me notes on Twitter saying that this bill was passed in the dark of night in secrecy without any Republican consultation, and there's a government takeover of health care. And I mean, it's insanity.
We had the caller yesterday. The president promised transparency, and you couldn't even see the bill. It wasn't even on TV. It's like,
was on TV. Oh, God.
Yeah, no. And besides the fact that we lost a lot of the things we wanted because there was so much compromise, both with the industries and with Republicans, it's part of the reason we don't have the public health insurance option in that mix.
Yeah.
Besides all of that, the president put on a big show when he held that bipartisan convention, conversation, whatever you want to call it, that was I watched the whole thing. It was a televised day of
It was in the dark of night. No, you did not. Dark of night. No,
No, trust me. I watched every word. So, I mean, it was all a big show to be able to prove to people that nothing was being snuck through under the cloak of darkness.
Well, as I was saying to you last hour, everything old is new again. Here we are with these town halls. Robert Pittenger, GOP lawmaker, outrages Tea Party at a town hall by saying no to a government shutdown. Tea Party members in North Carolina caused a stir at a town hall meeting on Monday after he said he would not support a Republican threat to shut down the federal government if Obamacare was not defunded. Real quick, easy question. This is the Tea Party wants to know. Will you vote with Senator Mike Lee to defund Obamacare, yes or no? One man asked Pittenger, do you want the thoughtful answer? Pittenger responded before conceding no.
What does desperation smell like?
Right. If every Republican votes against it, it does not get funded. That's a fact, the man snapped back. No, it's not. That's the other thing. It's like it won't do it, which is what he said. He went on to try to explain why he thought a shutdown threat was in vain, noting in any effort to stop Obamacare would need to be passed by the Democratic-controlled Senate and signed by President Obama. I mean, they've already showed that a government shutdown would not defund Obamacare, right?
Yeah, I mean, they're so worked up that they're not even listening to any sort of realistic thought or fact or information. It's silly. I mean, I'm happy to have a reasonable debate with somebody. I'm happy to have a conversation about the changes our healthcare system needs. What I'm not willing to do is listen to you spew a bunch of ridiculous talking points that have no foundation in fact. And that's what they're doing because they're so desperate.
Yeah, several members of the crowd protested. One woman declared, "We need to show the American people we stand for conservative values."
What's a conservative value?
How about
Bob Dole's health plan?
What does that mean?
Foundation's health plan.
That's what they don't even know what they're yelling about, right?
Dying,
I mean, this really is back to keep your government hands off my Medicare. I mean, it's absurd.
Yeah. Dying because you have no access to affordable health care? That's a conservative value? I don't understand.
Well, anyway, I wanted to talk to you primarily about this piece because I thought it was interesting, and we've talked about this before, but... where am I reading this? Daily Beast, I think. But it's George W. Bush gets a heart stent and a close brush with our broken healthcare system. The 67-year-old former president had a heart stent placed in this week, and why the whole affair exposes what's wrong with the politics of medicine. So interesting. And they write W's latest foray into the world of American medicine has landed him in the awkward position of illuminating everything that's wrong with his party's position on healthcare. Explain that for us. I know you've seen this article too.
Yeah. So from what I gather, what happened was he had a stent put in that also has a mechanism that prevents infection and blood clots.
Mm-hmm.
That particular device that was put in, I'm not a nurse, I play one on TV.
Right.
but that particular device that was put in is not necessarily effective for whatever condition he allegedly has.
No study has concluded basically what they're saying this is indicated for a patient such as Bush.
Right. But it seems to me it's kind of like the best device money can buy, but it's not necessarily proven to be the most effective or specifically necessary for whatever he has, the blockage that he has. So what it's talking about is the nature of our healthcare system where we throw a lot of money at something, but we haven't necessarily done all the research necessary to find out whether or not it's the most effective strategy to combat an illness or disease. And the Affordable Care Act has in it monies and provisions to do comparative effectiveness research. Now, there was a lot of political controversy over it because people equated that with cost analysis. You know, what was cost effective? That's not what it does. What it does is figuring out what comparing outcomes and research to figure out what's best, because what's expensive is not necessarily what's most effective.
Right. Well, I mean, and they're saying, you know, again, we talked about this study after study showing America spends the most for healthcare and still finishes a dismal 15th or worse in most healthcare health indicators. So, and this is what they're talking about. This is a gray area, you know, that's part of the cost of it because we have countless people who reside in this gray area of clinical uncertainty. And the other thing, this brings the sequester up, right? Because the sequester is cutting funding to do that kind of study.
Yeah, well, Medicare is at the forefront of a lot of our research. And when we cut money to government, Medicare and Medicaid, or we have governors like Rick Perry in Texas refusing to expand Medicaid programs, what we end up doing is cutting a lot of the opportunities we have to do comparative effectiveness research. Medicare happens to be incredibly innovative when it comes to some of these ways of figuring out how to keep people healthy and reduce excessive money thrown into our healthcare system. And when we reduce money overall, government money overall, we reduce the opportunity to do the research that we need to figure out what's best for our health.
Well, and the story concludes with a really important point. The organized and thoughtful healthcare system that moved George W. Bush from a doctor's office in Dallas to a catheterization table somewhere was built by tax dollars. And unless they are slowed, the nearsighted, panic-stricken, anti-tax ranters of his party will cripple a true lifesaver, the American healthcare system.
Yeah, I mean, it's just so sad that it's become such a political football, because it really is about our health, and it really is about making sure that people get access to affordable, good quality, affordable health care in this country. And the process we've created, we're a bright, shiny object society. You know, we look at something that's new and bright and shiny, and we assume it's better, and that's not necessarily true. And what we need to do is appreciate that there's a lot of government infrastructure in place that's helping us try and figure out what's going to keep us healthiest longer. And
right.
And that, you know, there's a big infrastructure that works on that, and that's not about corporate greed, and it's not about making money for shareholders. It needs to be about people's health. It's
right.
Very simple.
Right. Let's hang on 1 second here. Let's take a couple of Ask Jackies. Sheila in Arizona, you're on with Jackie.
Hi.
Hey.
Good morning. I'm actually kind of embarrassed to ask this question because I think I heard it on Fox.
you're already forgiven. It's okay.
We absolve you. Go ahead.
I think I heard that they were saying that the IRS is going to have access to our health care information. Is that true?
Oh, no. The role that the IRS plays within the scope of health care reform is that we need to know how much money people make in order to provide them with subsidies to afford health insurance premiums within the exchange. So that's the role that the IRS is going to end up playing, is figuring out how much money you make and whether or not you qualify for a government subsidy to help afford your health insurance premium if you participate in the state exchange. The other way it'll participate is that we need everybody to contribute to the pool, because everybody's going to have to take advantage of health care at some point in our society. It's the way it works. So if you're not going to choose an affordable health care option, you're not going to choose to participate, you're going to have to pay a little bit of a fine, and it's actually not very much money, but you're going to have to pay a fine, and the IRS would be responsible for collecting that money. But it has nothing to do with your health care records. It has nothing to do with access to your personal information. There's absolutely no intrusion there whatsoever. It's a totally made-up talking point.
Well, I knew you guys would spread some light.
Sheila, except for the fact that Fox is right, your paycheck is going to go directly into line dancing lessons for IRS agents.
Oh, God.
All right. Thanks for paying attention. Okay, Bill in Albany, you're on with Jackie. Hey, Bill, welcome.
Hey, how are you?
Good. Go ahead.
Hi, Bill.
Okay. Hi, Jackie. I had a question. I have a situation with an older person that enrolled in Medicare Advantage through Aetna, okay? They were basically, they were basically kind of saying, this would be better for you. I would assume that's because they have to pay less. The school district they used to work for probably pays less for Medicare Advantage. Now, they're being told that they can't switch back to Medicare and get a supplement. Could that be possible?
No, you absolutely have the right to switch back if you'd like to. What I would encourage them to do, and I think this is important for people to know, there's an organization called the Medicare Rights Center. It's MedicareRights.org. They have a lot of really good information online, MedicareRights.org. Yeah, they have a lot of really good information about what your rights are and when it comes to Medicare and how to navigate that. But you shouldn't be mandated. I mean, there may be open enrollment periods. I'm not entirely sure how that works with Medicare.
Right.
Maybe a certain type of time of year, like it works in the employment market, or the employer market rather. But they should not be prohibited from changing plans if they want to. That seems absurd.
And there will be no pre-existing condition problem either.
Well, there isn't in Medicare. I mean, in Medicare, we cover everybody over 65 regardless. But once you get into the exchange, if you're under 65, yes, you have to be covered regardless of any pre-existing condition.
Okay. All right, kids, can you take a couple more? And, yes, I will write your news for you for the top of the hour.
Yeah, no problem.
All right.
Oh,
terrific.
Yay.
Oh, look what I did. Okay, see?
You talked her into it.
I preempted her. Uh-huh. 19 minutes after the hour. Back with a little more Ask Jackie as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
The more you hear it, the funnier it gets.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
I went to see the doctor today.
And? What was the prognosis?
Somebody give me Nurse Jackie Stapp. 24 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number.
Jackie, you have something that you said you wanted to debunk, correct?
Yeah, people are asking me about this, and I think it's important.
Okay.
So there was an article that was written about what's going on with Hill staffers and the Affordable Care Act, because the Affordable Care Act basically says that staff members on the Hill have to use the exchanges like everybody else, right? Mm-hmm. That was a big Republican thing. If you're so excited about it, use it. And Democrats went, okay.
Yeah.
No problem. Well, what's going on now, and it's a little hard to explain, but I'm going to try and break it down, is that members on the Hill get what's called the Federal Employees Health Benefits Program. And it works kind of the way your employee benefits, your employer benefits do, is that you pick a plan, you pay a premium, and then your employer pays part of that premium for you. For federal employees, the government, in quotes, is their employer, right? So the government subsidizes those premiums. Well, if we put some of these Hill staffers into the exchanges, because of the money they make, they may not still get that subsidy. And so the question becomes, how do we continue to provide the benefit of paying for, I think it's like 72% of their premiums, if we're having these employees go out into the exchange? And so the administration came out with a memo, a proposal that said, you know, what we can do is kind of keep things the way they are in terms of subsidies, and we'll leave some of the decisions up to the member's office as to, you know, who joins the exchange and who stays on the Federal Employee Health Benefits Program. It's very specific within the government and specific to health staffers. But
okay,
it's not like we're giving an exemption or we're making exceptions. What they're doing is trying to figure out how to basically keep the insurance you have if you want it. Remember that whole thing? Like,
yeah,
you get to,
yeah,
keep what you have if you like it.
Yeah.
They're trying to figure out how to make that fair for people who work for the government and get their insurance kind of the same way that we do with our employers and not have,
okay,
to pay an exceeding amount of premiums.
Hmm. It's almost like you're implying they're trying to use that against the president in some way politically.
What? That never happened.
Diane in Little Rock, you're on with Jackie.
Hi, gang. How are you doing this morning?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay. Let me tell you how this law affects the state of Arkansas. Democrats and Republicans, because of the new health care law, passed Medicaid expansion in this state. Why? Because an extra $1,500 per insured person, it costs extra for the uninsured in this state. 2,700 people in this state would die without the new health care law. And the most important thing, all of us that have insurance would not have a hospital to go out, go to. Hospitals cannot absorb the loss of the uninsured anymore. And
yep,
by law.
Yep, yep, yep. Good points. Norm has a question for you, Jackie, from New York. Hi, Norm.
Hi.
Yes, go ahead.
I would like to know if Obamacare is so great.
Oops, hang on. Oh, crap. Sorry, Jackie, you there?
I'm back now.
Yeah. Sorry, I screwed up the phone system, but Norm wanted to ask the question you just answered.
Yeah.
If it's so good, how come people in the Congress? Okay, all right. Sorry about that.
Okay, lock her in now, please.
Yes, she's locked
Thank
in.
Thank you.
All right.
Okay.
Gary in Minneapolis, you're on with Jackie. Go ahead. Real quick, go ahead, Gary.
Oh, hi. I heard Jackie say a few minutes ago that Medicare does a lot of research on quality of care outcomes. And, you know, the problem with the healthcare debate is that you don't hear many facts in all the blather. And that was a new fact for me. And I'd like to know who does that research and where it's done and how much this is going to affect it if the sequester gets hammered on us again.
That's a good question.
<Uh-oh>. you have no answer?
No, wait, hold on. I don't know everything about everything. I'd have to dig out the exact organization within Medicare that's responsible for the comparative effectiveness research, but I think some of it comes to the National Institutes of Health.
I
think that what I have to do is dig around, to be perfectly honest with you, because I'd hate to speak out of turn. But we do a lot of government research when it comes to ways to be more efficient with how we pay for healthcare and then also with our comparative effectiveness. And that's actually allowed for within the Affordable Care Act is more money to go towards that research. But I think it's through NIH. I'd have to double check on that for you.
All right. Jackie, a spectacular corner once again, except for my phone screw up.
Yeah, for the whole part of the segment where I wasn't in.
Yeah,
the
well,
system,
I, you know,
no
listen,
problem.
It's I'm getting used to the phones. It's only been 25 years.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I'll do a little bit of research and post the answer up on Twitter if people
awesome.
Want to
awesome.
Find out.
Thank you, Nurse Jackie. See
you,
you
got
in,
it, guys.
See you in back in the news center.
Bye.
There she goes. All right. 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Sharon Stone's baby is afraid of
Stephanie Miller,
just like the rest of us.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. Corky in Rochester, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Corky.
Hello, Steph.
Hi. Go
ahead. I want to talk to those boneheads there complaining about the Affordable Health Care Act. What you hear those people in the emergency room when they're sitting there for 3 or 4 hours waiting to be taken care of? Because 50% of the people in the emergency are people without health care.
There you
that's
go.
The only
yep.
place they can get it. Huh?
Thank you. Nicely pointed out, sir. Thank you. All right. By the way, so still talking about the terror threat, mm-hmm. the president.
Even as we decimated the Al-Qaeda leadership that attacked us on 9/11, Al-Qaeda affiliates and like-minded extremists still threaten our homeland.
Yeah, that's the problem. It's like, you know, and a lot of people that know better are trying to make it, you know, black and white. Like,
yep.
Oh, I thought that we, you know, they were all gone now. Nobody said that. Okay, the president.
It's a reminder that for all the progress we've made, getting bin Laden, putting Al-Qaeda between Afghanistan and Pakistan back on its heels, that, you know, this radical, violent extremism is still out there, and we've got to stay on top of it.
Well, it goes to Doyle McManus's piece I was talking about earlier in the LA Times that what has happened is it's gotten safer here, and it's gotten more dangerous for
overseas.
People. Right, in our embassies overseas, Jen Psaki, State Department.
We are keeping it closed to keep our people safe, and because we believe there a threat remains.
Oh, now the president's doing too much to protect him. Well, now look what he's doing.
He's doing too much, not enough. Again.
Right, he didn't protect him in Benghazi. Now he's protecting the.
He's protecting it too much.
Now look what he's doing. Okay.
I hate people.
Okay. By the way, in the Daily Beast today, this was really quite surprising. It was actually an Al-Qaeda conference call that was intercepted by U.S. officials that sparked these alerts. They have conference calls? Beep. There are currently 3 other terrorists in the meeting ahead of you.
They have to dial in there.
Punch the code.
Please stand by.
Please punch the code. Please
terrorists
stand
are
by.
Waiting by, waiting for your call.
And then you punch in the code, but you forget to press pound,
right.
So you just wait there forever, waiting for the beep.
Yeah, the underwear bomber probably never figured it out. I don't know which to put. What do you mean?
What button do you push? I don't, what?
The other people, once you come into the room, who's this? Who just
Hello?
Arrived?
Oh,
Hello?
Hi.
Huh?
Oh, hi.
Conference calls are the worst.
Oh, my goodness. They should try GoToMeeting.
Yes, they should.
Hmm.
Because then you can see everybody else.
And you can see which other terrorists are already in the room.
And see who's talking.
Exactly.
Because a lot of times you don't know who's talking in a conference call.
You can demonstrate the underwear bomb so you don't have to just, you know, wing it.
Wait, who's that guy in the Alibaba outfit? What? Wait a minute.
And you have HD faces.
Right. Exactly. Ooh, crystal clear quality. Your beard looks fabulous
from your
today.
Cave in Afghanistan.
A tastefully appointed cave in
yes.
Afghanistan.
It wasn't just any terrorist message, the Daily Beast writes, that triggered U.S. terror alerts and embassy closures, but a conference call of more than 20 far-flung Al-Qaeda operatives. Oh, that is an annoying conference call with 20 people. That's chatter. That's where you say intelligence is picking up chatter, blah, blah, blah. Would you stop talking over me? I was talking. The crucial intercept that prompted the U.S. government to close embassies in 22 countries was a conference call between Al-Qaeda's senior leaders and representatives of several of the group's affiliates throughout the region. The intercept provided the U.S. Intelligence Committee with a rare glimpse into how Al-Qaeda's leader, al-Zawahiri, manages a global organization.
Haven't we killed him about 3 or 4 times now?
I'm the boss. I need the info.
I need sharks with frickin' laser beams attached to their heads.
You know, I have one simple request, and that is to have sharks with frickin' laser beams attached to their heads.
Al-Qaeda leaders had assumed the conference calls were secure. They picked the wrong service once again.
They should have used Go to Jihad.
Exactly. That was good. You get off like one good one like a month maybe.
I stole it from the chat room. Sorry, chat room. Okay. That was actually Shafe in the chat room. So. Uh-huh.
Go to jihad.com. Please type la 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 Zahiri in the box. Okay.
You can't spell Al-Zawahiri.
Who can spell that? It's not a good code.
No.
But the leaks about the original intercepts were likely exposed. Likely exposed the operation that allowed U.S. intelligence community to listen in on the Al-Qaeda board meetings.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Al-Qaeda board meetings.
Do you have to wear a tie?
Well, there's no women, but otherwise, I was wondering if there's a Joan Crawford terrorist that's like. In the board meeting, the Coca-Cola board meeting.
Pepsi. It was Pepsi.
Right. Same my first time at the rodeo.
Where's the damn coffee girl?
Tear down that bitch of a bearing wall and put a window where it ought to be.
Same my first time at the rodeo. Don't with me, boys.
Don't with me,
there
fellas.
You go. All right.
This ain't my first time at the rodeo.
Okay. And so John McCain on cue, this may punch a sizable hole in the theory that Al-Qaeda is on the run. He knows that it's more complicated than that.
Yeah.
The White House said, we've been clear, we've made a great deal of success against Al-Qaeda core in Afghanistan and Pakistan, that we've taken a number of steps to really decimate that group's leadership, including, of course, most importantly, Osama bin Laden. But at the same time, we've all made clear from the president on down that we remain very concerned about the affiliates, Al-Qaeda affiliates throughout the world, and that first on the list is always AQAP. I assume having a lot of affiliates, it's like having a syndicated radio show.
Absolutely.
You know, different program directors always have thoughts about different things.
Do they take, minutes? They take minutes at the Al-Qaeda board meetings?
It's hard to keep all the affiliates happy all the time.
It's all jihad.
Okay. Got a massage relation sometimes.
All right, say that again.
Massage. It's like a filner. Steph, you
there,
gotta
baby.
Go.
Hey, you like that? You like that? Huh? You like that?
Sometimes I gotta go lick some faces. That's what happens.
Yeah, you know, it happens.
Sorry about that one joke. How's that? Is it better now?
Why do I only think you're half kidding?
You're not kidding.
Can you lick HD faces?
I had to go do a little damage control here and there.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. All right, so the president talking about the NSA programs that obviously led to hearing the conference call.
Yeah.
Okay.
I had the programs reviewed. We put in some additional safeguards to make sure that there's federal court oversight as well as congressional oversight, that there is no spying on Americans.
That ship's kind of sailed.
Okay, the president again.
None of the revelations show that government has actually abused these powers.
That's how they got to listen to the conference call, Jim. Go to jihad.com.
Right.
All right. You know, don't you feel like this whole Zimmerman trial and the whole race issue in America, don't you feel like it's like an eye test, like better or worse now? Is it better or worse?
Better or worse.
One or two.
Better or worse.
One or two. One or two. Three or four.
Up or down? Up or down? Are we? Which way is it facing? Are we facing backwards or forwards? Because there's every story gives me hope, then I just hate us. President Obama met in Arizona by racist protesters singing Bye Bye Black Sheep.
Yep.
Even a sign in the crowd that said impeach the half-white Muslim. Oh, so I guess they were mad at the white part.
Sure.
The half-white and the Muslim part.
And what would be the basis for impeachment?
Because he's black?
I don't.
What? What'd I say? What? What?
Okay. And this is in the worst section of the better or worse eye exam. The racial eye exam. Many Americans have no friends of another race, according to a new poll. About 40% of white Americans and about 25% of non-white Americans are surrounded exclusively by friends of their own race, according to an ongoing Reuters Ipsos poll. I have said this to I'll just say friend in the South. But I literally said, it was just some thoughts that they were expressing. I was like, do you not have any black friends? And they literally said, no, I don't. And I was thinking, I'm looking at the polling and I'm going, is it really like this? But as a group, Pacific states, including California, where we live, the most populous state in the nation, or are the most diverse when it comes to love and friendship. By contrast, the South, there's a shock, has the lowest. Yes. Thank you. Has the lowest percentage of people with more than five acquaintances from races that don't reflect their own. And the only thing that gave me a little bit of hope in this article, the president talked about this. Remember when he talked about his daughters? Mm-hmm. He expressed optimism about the future, saying his daughters' experiences show younger generations have fewer issues with race, with everything, race, yep. sexuality, mm-hmm. you know. It doesn't mean we're in a post-racial society. He said it does mean, it doesn't mean that racism is eliminated, but they're better than we are. They are better than we were on these issues. And younger American adults appear to confirm this, according to the poll. About one-third of Americans under the age of 30 who have a partner or spouse are in a relationship with someone of a different race, compared to one-tenth of Americans over 30.
Of course, now kids don't relate face-to-face at all anymore because their heads are buried in their various devices.
Right. So that's probably why they're colorblind, because they've never actually looked up from their device. To actually, oh my God, you're black?
Yeah, I didn't, wow.
We've been friends for 20 years?
Do you realize how old you guys just made yourselves sound?
We are. We're old and crotchety. And actually, that I have a confession to make, too, though, like, because I was reading that, and I thought, I obviously have friends of another race. I have never dated someone of another race, though. And I thought, am I racist? Perhaps I am.
I have.
Perhaps.
I have.
Have you?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Not recently.
I am the only racist here, then.
Quite recently, actually.
Although, you remember DC Sexy Liberal? You remember Congressman Alan Grayson was on the panel with us, and he said, as a new congressman, he could grant me one wish is a new, you know, anything I want done in D.C.
Uh-huh.
And I said, please make Aisha Tyler gay. Make
no.
No, she's extra crispy, bucket of straight.
Like we didn't already know you had that wish.
Totally would go there.
I know you would.
Told me her friend's gay, and I'm like, does she look like you? She's like, no.
I think the salty cracker might have something to say about that.
Yeah.
Yes, her husband might have take issue with that. All right, 45 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Join the party. 1-800-STEPH-12.
Stephanie Miller.
Mm-hmm. Ow. 50 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number toll free from anywhere. Comedian Judy Gold joins us live in studio here next hour in just a few minutes. Oops, I did the wrong line. Sorry. Queen Bee from Tennessee. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Queen Bee.
Hi, y'all.
Hello.
Hi, Queen Bee.
Hello, sexy Chris.
Hi, Queen Bee.
All right, there you go, wrong tree.
The next time I hear a right-winger talk about family values, being a Christian, being evangelical, and all that, my head's going to explode.
Yep.
You know, it's like they're saying, if you're a Republican, I love you. If you're white, I love you. But, you know, when you talk about the Bible, do unto others and love thy neighbor, these are the only people that they're interested in. They're not interested in the rest of us. We're all Americans, whether we're white, black, gay, green, purple, whatever.
Do you know purple
and
people?
And we all deserve the same rights and privileges.
Yep, absolutely. Purple people.
See, well, if they hold their breath really long.
I did once kiss a flying purple people eater. That is true. I totally forgot about that.
They have one eye and one horn?
Right. I am really old that I remember that song.
Oh, I remember that song.
Mm-hmm.
I sang it as a kid. I had the album, actually.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Jim, we were mentioning yesterday that Reince...
Priebus?
Right. Reince Priebus. He's just a ridiculous little man. So he, in that really manly, threatening voice...
Don't call me a ridiculous little man. Why would you do something like that?
My friend, my TV best friend, Aaron Burnett... who I'm on her show pretty much every night on CNN. CNN's Aaron Burnett confronts GOP's Reince Priebus over Hillary Clinton documentary threats. And just what is your specific problem, Reince Priebus? I wish she had said, what is your main damage? But anyway.
God, Heather, what's your damage?
What is your major malfunction?
What is your major damage, Reince?
Idea. What's your specific problem with the films?
Well, you know, Aaron, I just think that groups like NBC and CNN that are in the business of news ought to take in consideration the fact that if you want to actually moderate and produce a debate that chooses a nominee for president on the Republican side of the aisle, that it would be reasonable to have the chairman of the party say, hang on a second. You ought not be doing feature films or documentaries and miniseries about what we know to be a very likely candidate that's running on the Democratic side of the aisle. Look, CNN and NBC can do what they want to do. That's their right. But it's also my right, Aaron, as chairman of the party, to say if you go forward with this, then I'm going to choose not to include you in the debate process and the moderating of our primary debates in our party.
I show there. I show you.
He didn't play any of our reindeer games.
Wow. Really? I mean, first of all, the fact that David Brock at Media Matters, who also wrote to CNN and NBC urging them to cancel because how do they think? Why do they think it's going to be all good or some sort of infomercial? I mean, it's so First Amendment. It's like what they have a right to do a documentary about whoever they want.
They do, and the RNC has a right to pull the debates from CNN and NBC. Sure,
it's right, but they're not planning infomercials. They're doing a movie about one of the most famous women in the world. I mean,
well, how about if I make a movie about Ted Cruz? How would you like that?
Yeah, please, have at it. Let's call it Cuckoo Bird.
I kind of agree with Brock and Priebus here.
Why? That they shouldn't do it?
They probably shouldn't do it.
I love the way he put it to her.
Well, no,
you
they can
ought
do it.
Not to be doing it. Really?
No, they can
you
do it.
You ought not to do that. It's like, oh, okay, right.
They can do it, but then the RNC does have the right to criticize
for it. Yeah.
Well, interesting piece.
It's not
Salon.
CNN's debate. It's RNC's debate.
Interesting piece in Salon today, though, as to why Republicans' desperate plan to hide its clowns. The party begs for fewer primary debates so candidates won't embarrass themselves on TV anymore. It will backfire.
There ought to be clowns.
No, this is a really good point. And it talks about Reince Priebus obviously threatening blah, 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 blah.
Threatening.
That's the reason he gave them, at least, but it's not the actual reason Priebus wants to not have any of these debates on those two channels. The real reason everyone knows and sort of acknowledges is the debates were a disaster for the party in 2012, an endless circus made up entirely of clowns on a national tour of shame.
Oops.
These debates were on TV. People watched and mocked them. The real candidates, the ones with the money people were counting on to win the stupid race, were forced to say unacceptable things to appeal to raging loons. Furthermore, the serious candidates looked less serious simply by sharing a stage with Newt Gingrich and Herman Cain. Yeah, I mean, great. This is in Salon today. It's easier for Priebus to preemptively cancel embarrassing debates than it is for him to fundamentally alter the makeup of the Republican primary electorate, a small and largely angry group. Of the demand ideological fealty to political philosophy and most Americans abhor. Unfortunately for Priebus, threatening to cancel debates is going to be much easier than actually preventing them from happening. So, I mean, that's what this is all about. It's just, you know, him getting any she talks about who may be in this group. Ted Cruz, noted cuckoo bird, according to John McCain. Cruz may be among those jokers, along with Marco Rubio, Rand Paul, Scott Walker, Peter King, Rick Perry, and various other figures adored by the base, but sort of terrifying and confusing to everyone else. These guys are going to go on television if they're given the opportunity to go on television. And she talks about Mike Huckabee is doing so well for himself he couldn't be bothered to run in 2012. I mean, they're competing for TV, radio shows, speaking fees, whatever. So boycotting NBC and CNN isn't going to prevent another string of embarrassing debates from happening. Just not, they don't want them there anyway. So he's just making a because
They don't want to embarrass the party anymore
because they have a tendency to point out things like facts, like Candy Crowley.
And the candidates themselves tend to put their foot in their mouths and make the entire party look like dolts.
Thank you. Salon finishing, if there are going to be another 100 primary debates, and there probably will be, the party would most likely prefer most of them to be on Fox, and liberals ought to be fine with it, too, because candidates will be just as likely, or maybe even more likely, to say dumb and embarrassing things on Fox as they would be on CNN or NBC. So boycott away, Reince Priebus, in today's Salon. Hilarious. Oh, here's the other thing. Who might join the clown car this time? Who did we just talked about yesterday? Mr. Crazy Mustache, John Bolton.
Bolton?
Right. Former U.S. ambassador to the U.N.
Oh,
only reason.
Potential 2016 GOP presidential candidate John Bolton will be in New Hampshire in September for some high-visibility fundraising events.
He has no domestic experience at all.
No. Julie says,
he's
John
just
Bolton.
So appealing, you know.
Julie says, John Bolton trying on the floppy shoes and red noses for 2016. By the way, Steph, I would pay cash money to see a foreign policy debate exchange between U.N. Ambassador 70s porn mustache guy and U.S. Senator roadkill toupee guy Rand Paul. Oh, that would be spectacular. That's what's going to be awesome, the clash of the people have no idea what their party stands
for. Clash of the midgets.
Right, because there's, the neocons and then the crazy, libertarian cuckoo birds.
Wow.
And oh, my God, his mustache would just like...
The only reason,
his mustache would move like a schmoo. You need to see what
people sent me schmooze
yesterday. Okay, am I right?
Yes.
Okay.
Although the schmooze mustaches are a little sparse. His is actually quite impressive.
Right, but it moves like you're talking about when he talks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's only because he has such an anger problem that it moves so much. There's so much hot air coming out. It's sort of...
You could knock off the top 10 floors and make a bit of difference.
Right, there you go. 58 minutes.
Only
out.
Reason.
Yeah. Judy Gold, comedian extraordinaire, next on The Stephanie Miller Show. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number toll-free from anywhere. What's that magical, happy, clappy aura that just floated in? Why, it's comedian Judy Gold.
Oh, here I am.
You are so not a morning person.
Oh, I love it. You wake up and the sun is out and it's so wonderful. And I love sitting on the damn highway. God.
Isn't it precious? Hi, Judy Gold. You look so happy to be here and up at this hour.
Oh, I love it. Well, to see you people, it's fine.
Okay.
You know, I'll only get up for a few people.
All stand-up comedians look the same when they come in here in the morning.
Say, what?
I know, it's awful, right?
Here's how it breaks down, even though we are a morning show. Jim and I, not morning people. Chris, a morning person.
I can't help it.
Yeah, Chris seems like a morning person.
Yeah.
He's so happy and like, hey,
how many years?
30.
How many years have we been on the air now?
Here, almost 9 years.
Almost 9 years now. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, our anniversary's in like September 1st.
Next
9 years.
What are you going to do?
We'll be
what
on vacation.
What is the 9-year anniversary?
We'll be on vacation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of this show.
Yeah.
This radio show. But anyway, we, for 9 years, Jim and I have been subjected every morning. He has to hook up our satellite thing through Denver.
Uh-huh.
Where our syndicator's
based. So I call them up to hear see if they hear me.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead, do it.
Good morning, Denver.
Oh, God. I got to leave. I can't.
Good morning, Denver.
10 minutes to 6 in the morning.
Oh, you guys are never here.
Wait, what time do you get up?
I get up at 2:30.
What?
Yeah.
Exactly. And then what time do you go to sleep?
Usually around 7:30.
I can't do that. I can't do that.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, it's still light out. Way. At this time of year, it's still light out.
Yep.
Okay, wait. Oh, sorry.
There was a photo shoot at my house last night. I'm in the Advocate Out 100, and they had to do a photo shoot, but I was like, you got to get out. I'm going to bed. It's like,
my God.
Get out.
Wait, what time do you go to bed?
It's about 7 or so.
Oh. And you're a comic.
I know. People ask us, right, out to dinner?
Yeah.
We're like 6 o'clock at night?
Night? No.
At night?
Now, do you feel like this has kind of ruined your life?
Yes.
All right. I want to make sure.
Really
you seem so happy.
It's been
like,
very bad for my health.
Yeah. It's very bad for my love life. Okay.
Oh, come on.
Shush.
All right, sorry.
I set the alarm for 4:30, but I usually wake up at 4 anyway, so.
You know what time do you go to bed?
Oh, depends on how
drunk
much I
o'clock.
Had to drink.
Yeah.
Drunk o'clock. Drunk o'clock. You know who I do have a chance with, according to, Rich in Washington State, Steph and the Mooks, Sydney Leathers.
Yes.
You know, Anthony Weiner's sexting
partner.
Yes. Apparently did an interview on Howard Stern.
Uh-huh.
Right, yeah.
The morning radio, and she revealed that she would like to have a hot, angry hate sex with Sarah Palin.
Wow.
Because she deserves it.
Wow.
Hate. What is hate sex?
God. I could not even. Really?
That's what I have with my ex.
I'd watch that.
Hate sex.
I'd buy it
for an hour. I could not even do just that voice alone.
Can you
really
imagine Sarah Palin having sex, period? No. Like, ugh.
Guys and gals.
She likes guys and gals.
Guys, that's right. Right that's there.
Guys
yeah,
and gals.
That's right there. Right you, there. Touch it there.
I'm sorry.
That's great.
What do you like sexually again?
Guys and gals.
Oh, my God.
At the same time?
Wow.
That's great.
All right.
I'll try to find you some and I'll bring them to you.
Okay.
Oh,
okay,
that's then. Great. You bring that.
Oh, yeah.
What,
that's
sex
good.
Toys? What are you talking
yeah.
about?
Oh, yeah. That's good. Also, too, in addition, touch that, too. Oh, yeah.
In what respect, Charlie?
Oh. Are you sad you're missing the wiener in New York? You're out here doing
I
your
know.
Show.
I'll be back. I'm going home on the 19th.
I know. By the way, I just saw Judy Gold's fabulous one-woman show.
That's right. Stephanie was there.
At the Geffen Playhouse out here in Westwood.
Formerly
fabulous.
Known as the Westwood Playhouse.
Only here through the 18th, August 18th.
Yes.
Go. Do.
Get your duty tushies. Your duty tushies.
Duty tushies.
Down, yeah.
What?
Down there. I'm too tired.
My friend Trish that went with me said I cannot get Welcome Back Cotter out of my head. Thanks to your friend.
Oh, sorry.
She, it's all about the 70s shows
sure.
she grew up with, and she sings, she plays the piano.
Wow.
She tells touching stories. She tells funny stories. Go.
Up your nose, you rubber hose.
We all were, though. We were all formed by all those.
I was so happy that you came. I can't believe you came on your day off.
I heard that there was a famous actress there. Amy Brenneman, was she there the day I was there?
Yes, she's there.
All the stars are there. Go.
Yeah.
That's the only day she can go is on her day off because she has to be in bed by 7.
I
and
went
that's
to a
what time you're...
I know. I
went
just,
to a matinee.
I don't even... I feel so sorry for you. So, like,
no,
what
my
do you
friends.
Do at 2:30 when you get up?
No, my friend. So we went to the 3 o'clock show on Saturday, the matinee.
Yeah, and I was so happy that she... Yeah.
With my Werther's candies. And then my friends, we went out to dinner. And I'm like, oh, I realize it's only 4:45. Is this too early for you guys? For dinner, but they were like, no, it's fine. Didn't we just have lunch?
At 4:45. Oh, God.
Wait, but don't you stay up late on Saturday?
Not really.
Yeah.
A little bit. I've made 9 o'clock.
If I'm out and about, I can stay up. But if I'm at home just watching TV on the couch, I fall right asleep.
Yeah.
I feel so bad.
Ask my friends, am I a loud, shouty drunk? No. Am I a sleepy drunk? Yes, I am.
I used to do theater and the radio show at the same time, and it almost killed me. Yeah, because I never used to get headaches, and then I had them all the time. And this is back when I was writing 6 comedy bits a day.
Oh, God. My God. All right, I feel lazy right now.
All right.
Wait, do you work out at 2:30?
Oh, God, no. The gym's not open at that time.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Don't they have 24-hour fitness?
Don't they have gym raves in West Hollywood or 24
something? 24-hour fitness is a name only. It has actually operating
well,
hours.
Oh, that's a trick.
Yeah.
That's
not in a row.
Yeah,
not
24 hours in a row.
No, I get up and I see what happened overnight. I do research. I put together the list that she has in front of her.
Picks out his pancake shirts.
Yeah, I like that pancake shirt.
Thank you.
Right.
It's got a pancake on it.
I like that.
Yeah.
Now, Judy Gold.
Yes, Stephanie Miller.
I'm up long enough to be on CNN, which I was last night, talking about what's going on in Russia with the gay and lesbian rights. It is very. Somebody was saying, because someone made a Hitler analogy, and there was like, oh, is that too much? And I'm like, well, no, Hitler started with the gays,
right?
So, and
I don't think they've killed any yet.
Well, I know, but it's scary that we've talked about, like, you know, boycotting the Olympics in 1936, but we're like, oh, he's not going to go that far. Like, what would he do? And
that is true,
This is scary. Like, 84% of Russians think gays should be rejected from society because they're afraid of government arrest if they don't think that. I mean, it is really scary.
It is really scary. Mm-hmm. And like, think of all these gay athletes that are going to go there.
Right.
And they're not protected, even though they're from a different country.
A caller had a great idea that everyone should wear, we should have all the athletes wear rainbow.
Well, the rhythmic
armbands.
Gymnastics team is going to be devastated.
Yeah, I know,
the
right?
The men's rhythmic gymnastic team, yeah.
That just sounds gay. Right there.
I don't know. I feel like, no, I think they should boycott, but that's just me.
Yeah. Yeah,
but,
no,
you know,
I mean,
we're just the, you know, gays. They look, if it was Jews, who would we go there?
Right. Yeah.
If it was African-Americans, would we go there? No.
No, actually, Leno made the comparison to the president. That's when people started talking about it. He said, you know, what they're doing with gays in Russia reminds me of Hitler rounding up Jews.
Right.
Well, he started with the gays. Well, he started with the gypsies, and then he rounded up the gays.
Well, I mean,
Jews.
Look at what happened. You know, in Uganda, they literally have a kill the gays law now. I mean, it's So, you know, I think
well,
it's...
When it was still the Soviet Union, they had sort of this enforced politeness towards people of other races. They had Patrice Lumumba University in Moscow. But then once
right.
that went away, they were free to go back to their old racist ways.
This is beyond ridiculous.
Somebody, and yeah. somebody made the Stalin comparison, you know,
right.
because of Russia, but he... You know, he remember gays, poets. Poets,
right,
I
yeah.
agree about poets. Are
I do too,
mm-hmm.
but especially rhyming poets.
Rhyming poets, yeah.
yeah, and people who write like Hallmark cards,
right?
you know, those
yeah.
people.
They came for the Hallmark card yeah. writers first, and
exactly.
I said, no.
Did you get that Newsbusters comedian Judy Gold is for rounding up Hallmark card writers?
well, it could be all. All right. We'll be getting that
but don't
now.
Get the shoebox card writers.
No.
Yeah,
they're
funny.
Those are cute.
Yeah.
Those are cute.
Yeah.
Those are cute.
I have one with the little kitty cat on, and he pulled a chin down, and he sings happy birthday. Meow, 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 meow. My job drives my cats crazy.
I know, and they
okay,
never,
no,
the battery
those
never
need to be
rounded
up. those people, kitty cards, no.
Yeah, I know. The ones where you open it, and it's like, ah, yeah.
Yeah, no. Cat people. Cat people. All right.
Dog
yeah, well,
people.
I'm for a boycott.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's,
well,
it's really
scary.
Well,
I'm for a girl cut.
Hey, now! Oh, my God.
La, 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 la. So, Judy.
Yes, Stephanie.
interesting. No, we've been talking about a lot of different issues this morning. There was another poll out about, because we were saying in this post-Zimmerman verdict, you know, the racial debate we're having, that a majority of Americans doesn't know anybody of an opposite, doesn't have a friend of an opposite race.
Is that true?
Yeah. Yeah.
No.
What did I say? 40% of Americans.
No, you're lying.
I am not lying.
That's terrible.
I know. I know. And that's what we were saying. Are we just because we're from New York and L.A., we think, like, what? Really?
Right. I can see that in, like, you know, North Dakota or Montana or something.
Right. Right.
But in, no, that's really... What do you attribute that to?
I don't know. I mean, the only thing, like, we were saying the president was talking about his daughters, and it gives him hope, because and the polling
right.
does show. I mean, I think that's our only hope. Only
well,
the children can save us now.
It's,
I thought Obi-Wan Kenobi was our only hope.
No, but... Right, but I'm just saying the younger you go in polling, the more they obviously have friends of another
right.
race.
Right, so it's just
right. they don't
adults.
Have, yeah, they don't have the same, you know, problems with sexuality, race,
right.
any of it, so...
I know. It's like we're going to have to wait till they become adults.
We just all need to die.
You're
now.
Not right. angry enough. Damn it. What?
We need to
God.
Hurry up and die.
It's funny because when I'm on stage and I, you know, like I'll have like a 20-year-old
right.
who's like, yeah, I'm queer. And I'm like, oh, what'd your mother say? Yeah, she doesn't care. and I'm like, you're welcome. Okay?
Yeah.
She didn't care. She was like, no problem. I was like, do you know what I went through? Do you have any idea?
You're time for you to suffer now, too.
It's like, yeah, they do not care.
Can you tell a great story about when your sister, because you thought your sister would be supportive.
Right, so I figured I'd tell my sister, because she's of right. my same age group.
Right.
No! I mean, it was like...
Oh, wow.
Yeah, she was, you know...
She said, no, don't tell Mommy and Daddy.
Don't tell Mommy and Daddy. And then my partner, Elisa, says, I can't believe you still call your parents Mommy and Dad. I mean, my father's dead.
That's cute.
But, you know, when you refer to them, we go, you know, Mommy or Dad. Is that weird?
No, it's cute.
All right,
it's
thanks.
Cute as bug's teeth. And you did not see that coming with you, Judy Gold.
Yeah. Don't tell Mommy or Daddy. That's what we said.
Aww.
And Granny. That was my grandmother, Granny. Very old-fashioned.
Yes.
Yeah, but you think that you just never know with people. You
yeah.
never know. I really thought she would be, like, loving and supportive, but...
All right. Okay. All right. 18 minutes after the hour, we roll along with comedian Judy Gold, live in studio on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Like being stung by a bee, or getting a splinter, or being chained to a wall in someone's sex dungeon.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show. Steffi. Steffi.
Steffi. Hey, yep, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. 23 minutes after the hour, actress and comedian extraordinaire Judy Gold live in studio with us. She is starring in her own one-woman show at the Geffen Playhouse out here in Westwood. And Blair from Facts of Life was there the other day. Awkward.
Oh, I know. Well, I only say one thing about her.
What's that?
Slut.
Right.
Is that
bad?
It's
just the character.
But it's
the character
not her.
She played.
She looks exactly the same.
Slut! She's a slut! Look at her slut!
Her character.
If I could hear that, that would be
terrific.
Okay.
Are you not plugged in?
No, I am.
All right, there you go.
Yeah, so, and then I talked to her afterwards. She looks, I mean, I can't,
wow.
What, and very nice, and chalk sock this, and it's so great. Can I get a picture with you? I'm like, oh my God, I'm talking to Blair. Like, you see these people.
That is a fact of your life now.
Yeah, it is.
Because
it's
you
a
are
fact.
A big...
It is a fact that I was talking to Blair.
There you go.
And she's evangelical Christian, too.
Yeah, I was wondering.
Yeah, she is. She homeschools her kids.
Wow.
You know, here's the
and
thing.
There she was
the mother,
at the Jew Lizzie show. Why not?
Right, her mother was there. And I thought, and she wouldn't, like, shake my hand or anything. You know, like, she would, I was like, oh, she doesn't
want
to be near me.
What do you think the conversation was about talking to Mom into going to the Jew Lizzie show?
Well, she's like, she said, I looked up on, you know, my daughter's going to be an actress, and I looked it up online, Best Plays in L.A., and it was, and then it mentioned the Facts of Life, and I was like, how great was that? And I'm like, I called you a slut, and I'm a Jew and a Lizzie. And I talk, and
people don't care as long as you mention them. That's hilarious.
Can
okay.
you believe it? I know. I was wondering, like, what is she really thinking?
And, not as awkward
yeah.
since the time you were on Chopped, the cooking show.
Oh, God, Chopped.
Yeah, you were
on
there
Chopped.
With Johnny Weir.
I was on Johnny with Johnny Weir, who is a gay Olympic athlete.
Right.
Who it just...
Bringing
I'm,
everything has, magically full circle that
yes.
we talked about, yes.
Isn't it amazing? So anyway, Johnny and I were on. We were the gays, and it was me, Johnny, Layla Ali, and
a very
Joey
special
Fatone.
Gay. All right, very special gay version of Chopped.
Right, but Layla's not gay.
Okay, fine.
And Joey Fatone's not gay.
No.
Okay.
And yeah, it was hell. It's hell. I mean, you have 20. You don't know what the secret ingredients are. You have 20 minutes. The clock is ticking. I was like completely paranoid. There. Yeah.
Right.
It's hard.
And you got some weird ingredients.
I had chicken patties.
Uh-huh.
Avocado. Now,
so
by
far,
the
so
way,
good.
I did, 2 weeks prior, I had stabbed myself in the hand trying to get a pit out of an avocado because
right.
my mother annoyed me on the phone, and then my
right.
neighbor came over,
sure.
and I was just like, so I had no feeling in one of my fingers.
Oh,
oh.
She had post-traumatic avocado disorder.
Yeah, I still have
at the
very
time.
Little feeling. Anyway,
right.
so, all right, so then I had avocado, Kujikan.
Right.
Sure.
Which, I mean,
it's
come
some
on.
Vietnamese paste, you Let's said.
Go. Yes.
Yeah.
Don't act like you know what it was. I told you in break.
You
did. See how he tried to act like, oh, yes, it's
oh,
a Vietnamese.
I know that
it is. Yeah. Anyway, and it tastes so disgusting. And then vanilla cupcakes.
Well, that's ridiculous.
My food tasted really... they actually said, your chicken is cooked perfectly. I made a guacamole with the Kujikan. But my presentation...
Uh-huh.
Was crappy.
Was lacking.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But, like...
Your presentation of Vietnamese paste?
Right. Exactly. Well, you have to incorporate. You can't
By
just
the way,
put it on top.
Your presentation right. this morning is delightful.
Oh, my God. Look
that,
at me.
That yawn you just let out right before we came
Sorry.
Back.
Sorry.
That was so delightful and ladylike.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm going to do
like
that on stage.
You look like you were trying to catch flies or something.
Right. With Blair the Slut.
Okay. Okay. Let's go to Evelyn in Tennessee. You're on with Judy. Hi, Evelyn.
Yes.
Hello.
Hi. How you doing?
Good. Go ahead.
Look, Stephanie, I watch your show every morning, and I love you.
Thank you.
And I love almost all of your crew. I'm not going to tell you which muscle-bound guy I don't like. But other than that, I was calling because you were talking mm-hmm. about the fact that I am a black woman, age 60, and you were talking about not having friends of other races.
Yeah, this poll that came out, right? Said
yeah. And it's absolutely true. I live in Memphis, Tennessee, and I have lived here ever since I was about 24 years old. And when I first moved here, I had this friend, I'ma call her Julia, and we were extremely close, extremely, extremely. I mean, we sat knee to knee and chatted and told each other our secrets, and she was a white girl. Well, when Julia got married, her husband refused to allow me to be
This is so fried green tomatoes, this story.
Yeah. Her husband refused to allow me to be invited to the wedding. I was not invited to the wedding. And shortly after that, they moved to Arkansas. And the only reason I knew they had moved, I called her on the job. And one of the employees told me, Julia is gone to Arkansas.
Aw. And that was your last white friend, you said, until...
Yes.
Wow.
Back in 1975.
Wow. You beat the crap out of the husband.
Me too. Me too.
Well,
I'd like to take a fried green tomato pan and...
I know. Bang.
She never told me she was leaving. Never.
She's never a bad friend.
Exactly.
And another thing...
Guess what, Evelyn? We're your new white friends, though, right?
Yeah.
I love y'all.
We're your white TV friends.
It hurts. I know I don't have much time, but it hurts when I hear callers call in and they say that the Trayvon verdict was not about race.
I know. Well, we all know better.
I got two black boys, black sons, age 31 and 25. If Trayvon was not black, he would be alive today.
I agree.
It was about race.
I agree. Mm-hmm. I agree. As your new white friends, we agree. That was so fried green tomatoes, that story. And I cannot believe you made that gesture with your fingers, Judy Gold. You were
I didn't. What are you talking
penalty
about?
Penalty box with the rest for the rest of the show.
Oh, I forgot there's a camera in.
Oh, yeah. For God's sake.
Oh, boy. Remember when radio was radio?
Yeah. No. Right back.
Stephanie Miller.
Bad hair, weird nose, thick neck.
She shook my hand with her fingertips. What are you, the Queen of France?
Her face made me want to learn how to box.
Man, there's a lot of love in this room.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 3 minutes after the hour. Comedian Judy Gold.
You're just getting into the Boston that we're playing.
Yeah, I enjoy Boston.
Tom Schultz.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. She's old like us. Okay. Hey, here's the most upsetting thing. We've been talking about the Olympics and whether we should boycott and human rights in Russia. Here's an even more upsetting story. Michael Phelps, the famous swimmer, has said that everybody pees in the pool.
What?
Including Olympic swimmers.
Oh, God, I can't. And how come they don't get that on the camera? They have the underwater camera.
Right? Just to see the stream
like yellow. Yeah.
I think he's thinking about other things while he's swimming, but maybe when he's practicing?
I don't know.
That's practices disgusting. Are long.
That's disgusting.
You don't have time to go.
I have to say, I do swim a lot, and when I'm done doing laps, I have to pee really bad for some reason.
Right. But you hold it, is what you're saying.
But I don't do it in the pool.
Okay. But, well, there's no way we can prove that.
Just don't poop in the punch bowl. That's the...
Ew, he said that? Yeah. They all do?
Yes.
Yeah.
Rob in Washington, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Rob.
Good morning. Thank you guys for doing what you do.
Thank you.
My question is why don't we all stick together as Americans and, just boycott the Olympics, you know, and then see how many other countries will follow suit saying, you know what? These are still our countrymen. We should support them no matter what, whether we believe, you know, it's okay to be lesbian, gay, straight, or bi, you know, either way, you know. I mean, we should support them and just say, you know what, we're not showing up. And then what's Russia going to do with spending all that money to get ready if all the countries don't show up?
Well, they're not all going to follow suit.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, I'm sure Uganda's with us on that.
Yeah, but I agree. I mean, but, you know, it's... And these people, they train and train and train for years, and it's a big money-making thing. I don't know. It's very upsetting. Yep. Very upsetting.
Pink, you know who... Pink, the singer, who I love, thinks it's a compliment to be called a lesbian. Hitting back at mean tweets, she said, fun fact, when you Twitter me and say you're a lesbian, it really doesn't bother me at all. It's a compliment. Most of my favorite people are.
Oh, so I love her.
So what? She's still a rock star.
Do you know what? When my niece was a little girl and she was in school and someone said, you're a lesbian or something to her. And she went home to her mother and she's like, "What? You know, that they're calling me a lesbian. What do I do? And she said, just say thank you very much.
Yeah.
I mean, she's not a lesbian.
She said, I'm sure all of you hate-filled humans can come up with something a little worse than that. Come on, be creative. You have 140 characters. Good for her.
I like her.
But not since she said, don't be fancy, just get dancy, have I agreed so much with something.
With Pink.
Right. Miley Cyrus also said she's never been offended by people calling her. People call Miley Cyrus a
Ever since
lesbian?
She got that short haircut.
Oh, I thought it was the twerking, perhaps.
No, as you have proved, lesbians can't twerk.
Right.
Like, I don't call people straight if they have, like, long hair.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like,
right.
What is that?
Miley Cyrus said, everyone said I was a lesbian, but I'm like, being a lesbian isn't a bad thing. So if you think I look like a lesbian, I'm not offended. You can call me much worse. I've been called much worse. Being a lesbian is a compliment more than what else they call me. I thought we were past that time. Remember?
I know.
Remember the les and femme were like that?
Yeah, oh yeah, I know.
Calling guys a femme. That was
yeah.
We never heard that.
We never heard that.
No.
I think that might be a Buffalo thing.
Could probably be. Could be an upstate New York thing.
A femme.
Everybody get ready to say, oh no, please don't. Chris Brown threatens to quit music.
Oh
what?
No.
Oh my God,
no, my
no!
world has collapsed. Because he's sick of you all bringing up the fact that he once beat up Rihanna.
God. Right. Are you okay?
I don't know. What am I going to do?
I don't understand the world anymore.
I don't want to live.
Chris who?
All right, you know what? Overactor.
She's playing to the back row.
All right,
row.
That was
yeah,
good.
Yeah, to
all
the
right.
back row.
Wow. You are a theater actress.
Thank you.
The 24-year-old singer is tired of being famous.
Oh. No, don't go.
You'll keep the money, of course.
Just when I had her the baby calm down and put down for a nap, I upset her again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's just so, yeah.
Yes. He said he's tired of being famous, wants to stop after his upcoming album because he's fed up of being in the headlines for the incident.
Beating up Rihanna.
Right.
Yeah.
He wrote on Twitter, don't worry, mainstream America, after this X album, it'll probably be my last album. Cue Judy Gold. No.
No! No!
I'm tired of being famous for a mistake I made when I was 18. I'm cool and over it. Yeah, well, we are over you,
yeah,
Chris
right.
Brown. Get out!
Well, that'll tell him.
I've got all my life to live, all my love to give. Well, come on! I'm sorry. See, now I'm overacting because you are. You see what you've
Isn't
done?
Isn't it good? It feels good, right? It
feels pretty.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. In other hip-hop news.
You've been waiting so long for an excuse to say that.
I really have. Even more than I like saying, and now a story about a bear.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Nicki Minaj, do you know?
Yeah, okay. She twerks.
She went ballistic last night about it. It's a rap war, Judy. Try to pay attention.
Okay, go.
Against a rapper named Ransom, who she thinks was talking smack about her, maybe. He released a new song, which contained the lyric, before Nicki was wearing those crazy wigs, I was doing verses for her. I just was hoping she made it big, which apparently is a huge insult in rap, implying that he ghost wrote her songs. And
sure.
Right.
Uh-huh.
So she tweeted, yo, I'm not even a man, and N-words got my in their mouth.
What?
Huh? Oh, my God.
You know, I don't understand how the kids today fight. I don't.
It's just amazing when you think about how beautiful the English language
right?
is.
Right?
And how
right?
they F&A. Really take it to another level.
Right.
What? I don't even understand what they're saying.
I don't either.
But you know what's sad? My kids would understand that.
Right. Henry is how old now?
He's going to be 17 in September.
Right. And you said he hates you.
Yeah, I think he likes me now.
Really?
I don't know. It's like, I don't know. He likes me, hates me. Go ahead. Sorry.
I think she would like to, Ransom to take her metaphorical penis out of his mouth.
Right.
Yeah, I figured that out.
All right. So we will never get those 20 seconds or so of our life back.
No.
Yeah. That we spent talking
yeah.
about that.
Okay. And even thinking.
Sure.
Know. What okay. are they talking about?
And another yeah. old man tweet news.
Yes.
I think Twitter is really puts down it. It's just, I don't. Sylvester Stallone tweets. He announced yesterday that Bruce Willis has been booted from the Expendables summer franchise, calling him a greedy, lazy jerk.
Mm-hmm.
He tweeted, Willis out, Harrison Ford in. Great news. Been waiting years for this. Greedy and lazy, a sure formula for career failure. Oh, my God, it's like old man action star wars.
Oh, my God.
Sorry why he tweets, because otherwise you can't understand. Yeah. If he said it, then it would be like, what?
Yeah.
What? Was that an insult? What did you say?
I'm what? Lucas.
He's got to get his rear out of my mouth, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ah, Lord.
Oh, God.
Yes. Okay. Glenda in Ohio, you're on with Judy. Hi, Glenda.
Hi, how are you?
Good, go ahead.
I'm black, and I'm female, I'm 63 years old, and the woman that I consider my best friend is white.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I have
I have a Korean and a Chinese and a Mexican friend too, and also a Greek one.
Collect them
That's
all.
Not a collectible doll collection.
My best girlfriend and I both married. One day her husband told me, Glenda, I'm gonna bust up your friendship if it's the last thing I do. I told him, Chuck, you'll be dead before my friendship with Chris is over. Poor man's been dead over 20 years.
Oh my God. How did he die?
Cirrhosis of the liver.
He drank? That's so unusual for someone to say that.
If that's your story, I would stick to it.
Yeah.
All right, thank you. Well, of some sort, it's Judy Gold being here. That there's some sort of theme of like fried green tomato theme going through today's. I don't know. He had an accident. You know, he stepped on a bag of vipers.
Someone sent me a picture of a bag of vipers, a sack of snakes, little plastic snakes.
Some meddling husbands they get hit with bags.
How
of
come lunch. None of them have Jewish friends? They don't have Jewish friends or gay friends. They haven't said.
Who has a Jew friend? Call now.
Okay. Yeah, anyone with a Jew, gay, or gay. Yeah, go ahead.
Mark in Michigan, you're on with Judy. Hello, Mark.
How you doing?
Good.
I was calling because there was an earlier comment about the inconsistency of conservatives being Christian, and I wanted to counteract that. I just think it's an unfair generalization. I've adopted an African American child. I have friends who have. My second biggest expenditure is charitable giving.
To your church?
What's that?
To your church?
To all kinds of organizations. Okay. Behind taxes, that's my biggest expenditure. And, you know, I think there are a fair number of people out there like that, and so I think
right.
It's...
Right. I don't think anyone was saying that all Christians are a certain way.
Right.
Yeah. Well, you seem to agree with the person who made that comment, and
No, I would never say all right-wing Christians are like that. I think some are hypocritical, don't you?
Yes, absolutely. From a, would I do that kind of thing? No. I guess it becomes difficult identifying, who's who. From a religious hypocritical standpoint, I'm sure that we could find people on both sides of the argument. So that is both ends of the political spectrum.
Right. Well, we certainly have pervs on both ends. There are new Filner allegations. Have you heard? Have you been keeping up with the Filner of San Diego?
And you know what's good? He's
of the
really
San Diego
hot.
Filners.
He's hot.
Yeah. It's like kissing that singing fish on that board, Billy Bass. Yeah.
The stories are like...
Right.
He said to me, let me see your ass. And I was...
Right. Like if you weren't gay, you would be now, right?
Right. He made me gay.
It would be like kissing a T-bone steak.
Right. The full facial lick? Who thought that would be hot? Exactly. All right.
It's awful.
Okay.
How does he not know he's going to get caught?
I know.
Like, they act like this, and then they act like,
What?
And he's 3 days into his 2-week therapy session for changing his behavior.
Yeah, right.
And he went after female military victims of sexual assault.
Yeah. Yes.
That's the most awful thing.
He sat in a green room next to one of them and said, tell me about your rape.
No!
Yeah, while caressing her.
Yeah, tell me.
What is wrong with him? Ugh,
he's looking for tips on how to do it.
I can't. And like, how did Wiener like had no idea these allegations were going to come out?
You know what? There was one sunny side we heard yesterday is that Sidney Leathers revealed that he always said thank you after he had an orgasm.
After he.
Oh,
that's polite.
I can't. The thought of him
it's
having
polite.
An orgasm.
It's polite. He said thank you.
No, thank you.
Everybody has some redeeming quality.
I mean, do you even I don't even have time to, like, sext and have these relationships. Right. I have kids. How do these people have time to do
this? If you're a congressman, you shouldn't have time to sext, especially if you have a wife.
Right. Have you seen that website, people that have accidentally sexted their parents or kids? Just because autocorrect didn't work?
Yeah.
Oh, hilarious.
Yeah.
Wow.
What is that website? Damn you, autocorrect.
Yeah.
Oh, I gotta look that up.
Yeah. All right. 46 minutes after the hour. Nothing more embarrassing than an accidental sexting. Right
to
back.
Your mother.
Hurrah.
Oops.
Oops. Right back with the remaining moments of Judy Gold. Not in her life, just in this show.
Yeah, probably.
I love it. It's a fabulous program.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Don't be fancy, just get dancy. Why so serious?
One minute after the hour, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. This hour brought to you by SodaStream. All right. Oh, by the way, George Takei, Jim, has called for a boycott of the Olympics.
Oh,
yay!
Yay for Takei. Oh, my.
I agree.
Right. Just saying
yes. I just can't believe that no one, like, it's not a bigger deal.
Or you could set your phasers on...
Fabulous.
Fabulous. Yes. Elizabeth has an idea. She writes, Steph, the flag ceremony, all countries willing to partake should fly the rainbow flag. That would be...
That is a terrific idea.
The awesome. That is being awesome.
Putin will never allow this.
All right, I've got my CNN topic for tonight. We're doing the topic we've been doing all morning, that about 40% of whites and 25% of non-whites are not friends, or only friends with their own race, according to a new poll. What the what the?
What?
And you were just saying that people hate the president because...
Because he's... I'm telling you.
You just read a racist tweet about the president on... What was
yeah, on Twitter. On Twitter. At Jeff Denny tweeted me and said, "Your boy showed his true self on Leno. He is a disaster off prompter. Empty suit with an orangutan for a wife."
Okay, first of all, moron, orangutans are from Asia, yeah. Not Africa.
Right. I retweeted that to all of my followers,
so
and they're giving him the what for. So
your boy would mean our president?
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, the word boy, right. That is also, it's, come on.
Yes. Yeah. Lindsay in Michigan, you're on with Judy. Hi, Lindsay.
Hey.
Hello.
Hi, I was calling regarding, I believe it was Judy had said, why does nobody have any gay or Jewish friends?
Right.
I was calling, I'm a lesbian, and my fiancé, obviously, she's a lesbian, and she's Jewish.
Oh, my God.
Yay!
Yay! Yeah!
Yay for you. All right, well, you're making up for other people then. Okay.
Well, they're not going to be friends for long. I mean, they're getting married.
Hey!
Good night,
bitter.
Ladies.
Bitter.
Bitter.
All right. Listen, because we're here in Hollywood, I am forced to do a report on Lindsay Lohan's, you know,
treatment?
Soberness or not.
For JJ?
Right.
Oh,
yes.
No. Okay.
What? Excuse me? No.
It's not that
what?
Story.
No.
Okay.
She's had a sober family fun night, everybody.
What'd they do?
Right.
They went out for sober fun with everyone in her family except Dina.
Uh-huh. Probably wise choice.
They went to see The Conjuring, the movie in New York City with Dad.
Very scary
Michael
movie.
Owen, Sister Allie, Brother Michael Jr. She has a sober coach. And her sober coach.
No, that's common.
What is the sober coach? What does the sober coach do?
Do I have to be sober to be a sober coach?
That's a good point. Does the sober coach have to be sober? Or, right. Or is the sober coach, would it be better if they were sloppy drunk?
I don't think John Boehner is going to be the sober coach.
The sober coach is there to help her make the right decisions.
They should have my mother be the sober coach. What are you drinking? What is that? What? Come here. Breathe on me. Are you crazy?
It sounds
oh
like
my God! You're
happen.
Drinking again, aren't you? You, I don't even know what to do with you.
Again? Like I ever stopped?
Okay, Scott in St. Louis, you're on with Judy. Hello, Scott.
Hi, Stephanie. I want to make first of all, I'm going to hate to see Current go. I'm going to miss you guys on TV.
Oh, we will. The radio show will continue. We will have a new TV home, and we will announce that as soon as we can.
Yep.
Go ahead, Scott.
Okay. Second point is that the reason why gays are being subjugated in Russia right now is twofold. First of all, the religious right in this country wanted Russia to get religion. Well, they sure did, because the Russian Orthodox Church is slowly but surely replacing the Communist Party as the major thought organ in the country.
Mm-hmm.
And the second is demographics. I don't know, but you think you know this, but there are fewer Russians than Nigerians right now. and their demographics are continually going down, and they project that there are only going to be 100,000 Russians by 2050. That means that the pool of draftees for their army is going to go down, so it therefore becomes a national security issue for them. Because, of course, gays don't produce children, at least, you know, the normal way. But anyway, I just wanted to bring those points up.
All right, thank
up.
You, Scott. You're a gay who produced a child, aren't you?
I produced a child. I thought it was normal. He came out of my vagina. So I thought that was normal.
The child was born.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, you can see that and more at Judy's show at the Geffen Playhouse.
Yes.
Only until August 18th, so
yes.
I would hurry and go. It is fabulous.
Yeah, come see the show. Because when are you guys coming?
She is warm and inviting like that. Yeah, why don't you yell at them to go like you yelled at
why
me?
Why didn't you come?
I will come.
See? There you go. It works.
Uh-huh.
We'll see you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Shalom!
Shalom, Judy!